Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host, Avik, and today we are gained by joining our guest, Andrea Johnson. Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Thank you, Avik. I'm excited to be here. I'm eager to share.
Lovely, lovely. So, Andrea, like before we start our conversation today, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Andrea is an expert in empowering executives and the founders to lead authentically and make a positive impact. So with a background in navigating the diverse cultures and overcoming the personal challenges, her journey has led her to a deep understanding of emotional resilience and at the same time, the importance of aligning with one's core values. So why to wait for? Join us as Andrea shares her insights on the leadership, wellness, and living a fulfilling life. So welcome to the show again, Andrea.
Thank you.
Lovely, great. So Andrea, to start with, if you can share with us like how your personal journey as an adoptive parent has influenced your approach to the wellness and the leadership.
Well, I, as a woman, went through what we call premature menopause. I went through early, and my husband and I had been married 10 years, and you know, I got married young. Nowadays, I think it's young. 27 seems, you know, really old, you know, back then, but nowadays I think of 27 as being young, and we had already been married about 10 years, and you know, we just couldn't. And like many couples, I went to see a fertility specialist, and he said at 38, I had a 13% chance of having a live birth, even with in vitro fertilization. And if any of your listeners know what that process is like, it is a really, it's not benign. It is a hard process. And I looked at my husband because this doctor said, your eggs are old. And so I looked at my husband as we walked out to the parking lot. And I said, you know, adoption is 100%. And there are plenty of babies out there, whether it's in foster care or overseas or private adoption, that do not have families and do not have a home. And there's no reason why we can't go that direction. And it was one of the pieces of my puzzle and my personal journey that really pushed me toward going out to the edges and looking at my own, where's my comfort zone end? How do I get there? And I had already been through quite a few things, especially health and wellness wise, including gastric bypass surgery and bulimia and depression. So for me, this was one more step in my journey. And then becoming a mother of a brand new 9-week-old baby at 42 was quite an experience. Because I didn't carry him, I wasn't really prepared. And I had to learn a lot of things about just being a mom while I was working. And while my husband was a pastor, so we were managing all of the rest of our lives. And all of a sudden, and all parents go through this to a certain extent. But for me, it was a whole lot of learning. And then when we hit school and realized that my son was a little bit different, turns out he has ADHD and anxiety and rejection sensitive dysphoria, all these things. So we had to learn a lot about how do I parent a child that's not like me? How do I parent a child that needs me to meet him where he is? And so all of those things really prepared the way for me when I turned 50 to say, I have to do something besides just manage people. I have to do something where I can make an impact, because I'm sure we'll get into it in a minute here, but I was the one who needed empowering at the time, because I was learning a lot, but I didn't have all the tools I needed to do what I needed to do. And if you've ever been confronted with a physical thing or a mental thing that caused you to completely change the way you live, that's a lot of learning. And so I approached that, my husband and I both did approach that with this idea that whatever it takes, we're going to learn what we need to learn. And so that was just part, that's a little bit of the journey of how that particular aspect of my own life story got me to a place where I now help other people to do that.
Wow, lovely. That's really lovely. So what are the strategies, or maybe the practices, have you found most effective in helping the executives and the founders align with their core values?
Well, first off, I need people to understand that just because you're an executive, or just because you founded your own company, or even a team leader, that doesn't mean you have all the tools you need. So I literally call myself a transformational leadership coach, and I work with those who feel disempowered. Maybe they are putting in too much time at work, or they have responsibility with no authority, or they feel burnt out or in constant imbalance. And a lot of that is because they're acting inside the assumptions and beliefs that they've accepted because they haven't developed a clear understanding of who they are. So what I do then is I help them step out of those and step out of the principles that they've been imitating, and figuring out their own priorities and defining their own sustainable, impactful leadership by learning who they are. And when someone understands their core values, it means they're able to act kind of with the authority that their convictions bring. For instance, working with one client who's a leader of maybe 10 people on her team, and she said that for some reason she didn't feel comfortable pushing back. She was always picking up the slack for them. And when she finally realized that's not helping, that's just kind of picking up the slack, that's just making the team function a little bit, but making the team grow would involve changing who she was and saying, y'all not doing your work and me having to do your work is a disrespectful thing. And respect was one of her top core values. Another thing is I help executives and founders and team leaders enjoy their work and be empowered by their work. And that same team leader is a very good example of that. I help people have the confidence to set their boundaries. When you know what your core values are, it's a little bit like, you know, here in the United States, many of us have big yards and that kind of thing, but it's a little bit, but I grew up in Korea. So we grew up, we had a compound, there were walls around all the houses. And so there, the boundaries were very clear. You didn't come in the compound without buzzing the buzzer. I don't know what it's like in India, but here in the United States, people don't come up to my front door and just walk in, right? That's a closed door, is a very clear boundary. And so helping people understand their core values gives them the ability to set the boundaries in a way that you don't have to tell people, hey, that's a boundary. It's just clear that that's who you are. But it also gives them the ability to facilitate change and progress. How many leaders don't look out across their company or across their team and say, you know what, we could make something better here? So when you do that and you have the ability to make progress, then you feel fulfilled and you're understood, and your team gets behind you because they can see that you're going to lead in a way that is going to make them better as well.
Wow, that's great. That's great. So if you can also elaborate the concept of intentional optimism, and at the same time, how it serves as a framework for the personal and the professional growth.
Sure. I call myself the intentional optimist, and that comes from a philosophy that I've developed of my own. It is the third of three main pieces, kind of a Venn diagram that I use in my business. I tell people, in order to lead with impact, you need to know who you are, which is your core values, how you communicate, which is your DISC wiring, and I'm a DISC consultant through the Maxwell team, and then how to live all of that out with what I call grace and ease. And intentional optimism consists of six major tenets of kind of understanding how I want to function. And I started with that and people were very attracted to it, but I found that you have to go back to your core values and your communication to it to be able to live it out, which is how my business model developed. But intentional optimism includes being, the first is being optimistic, being willing to see hope, being willing to see the bright side of things, being willing to say, I'm positive that I can actually do this. Then the second is being present and understanding that in order to actually be with my family or an actually to actually be part of who I am, I need to have this sense of wonder and I need to be kind and be open. It's more than just being where your feet are. The third is energetic, which includes the industrious nature of most entrepreneurs. It includes excitement and joy and being life focused. Being courageous, that's another piece that we work on. That's the fourth tenet that includes being willing to lead. That's where leadership comes in. Seeing life as an adventure, being undaunted. And you mentioned, as most people do, because I put that in my bio, is this emotional resilience, being able to bounce back from hard things. The fifth tenet is wise, being able to understand kind of the bigger picture. What's going on inside and outside of me? The words that I speak, how do they matter? How do they affect other people? What kind of respect am I showing and demanding? And we see that you know, shows up in your parenting, your leadership style, everywhere. And then the sixth tenet is being intentional. You can have all these wonderful ideas, but if you're not intentional about making a plan, having a sense of purpose, and we don't grow by accident. We only grow on purpose, because once we are out of school, we have to be very intentional about how we grow. So having those six pillars and those six tenets in place means that I can move forward in a way that says, these are my core values, and I am going to live those out in this way in my life. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Exactly makes sense. So... thanks for sharing this. And
sure.
What advice do you have for the individuals who are struggling to identify their core values and at the same time incorporate them into their lives?
Well, the first thing is you can work with me, and I have a free download that would give you an idea of what they are. But there's a lot of talk about core values in the industry right now, because business values are out there, family values. When I define core values, these are your internal principles that are your compass. These are the things that you've had, that you were born with. If it's a core value, you probably were able to see it when you were a child, if you look back on your life. My number one core value is freedom of thought. I used to think it was just freedom, but I can live within society and follow society's rules and be a part of a community and all that. I don't have to be a lone wolf, but don't tell me what to think, right? That's the part that really got me. And you can see that as when you look at my childhood, my mother said, you were the ultimate strong-willed child. I had no idea how to handle you. And it was because she kept trying to tell me what to do and how to think. So I can look back on that and see. So one of the first, there's three principles that core values will do for you. They'll give you the ability to lead with authority, to lead with conviction and passion, and then to lead with confidence. And so that's why I think it's imperative that you know them. One of the first and easiest ways to find out an idea of what your core values might be is, Avik, what makes you really angry? What in the last week has made you really angry or consistently makes you angry? Or if you're in a situation and that one situation always bothers you, then you can say, whatever that is, it's probably dishonoring, pressing on, or, you know, violating one of your core values. And you can flip it over and say, the positive of that is my core value. Another way to do it, if you don't want to go through all the exercises, is to say, what brings me the most joy? So for me, when I talk about being angry, it's like, don't tell me what to think. You know, if people start a sentence of, wouldn't you agree? And then start, you know, with this thing, I'm like, no, you have to ask me, what do you think about this? And then we'll have a great conversation. But on the opposite side, the joy part of that is I love sitting. My husband likes my brain. So we'll sit in the living room on Saturday morning and have a lovely conversation back and forth about a really tough theological concept or about what's going on in politics or what's going on in our country. We just, unfortunately, today here in the United States, I lived in Baltimore for 12 years, and today a cargo ship hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge, and my heart is broken today. We crossed that bridge, you know, hundreds of times when we lived there, and there's been this tremendous loss of life. And so being able to talk about those things. So if you want to look at what angers you and what brings you joy, that's the first place to start, because it's not anything that's outside of you. It's not your family. It's not your job. And I would say that it's not even something like happiness, right? It's usually something deeper. And as we start to identify them, they kind of start out, we start out with surface level, because if we're not used to digging really deep, it takes a while. So that's the first place to start. And then, like I said, I offer a free download. I'm happy to give it to you for your show notes and to make sure that they have the opportunity. It's just a one-page exercise that tells you how to start. And then I also have a digital course and some hybrid coaching that I'm happy to walk people through all of this. I have just did a workshop 2 weeks ago, about 100 miles south of me here in Virginia. And one of my clients came to speak at it. And she said, it was the pivotal moment in my business last year, because not only did it give me an understanding of how I can live my core values out in my life, but she said, it changed the way I see my business and why I do my business. I think it's really that important.
Understood. So in your experience, how can improved communication and the corporate culture contribute to the overall wellness and the leadership effectiveness?
Well, like I said, I grew up in Korea. And how many languages do you speak, Avik?
So it's English, Hindi, and one more local language in India.
Okay. So at least three. You speak at least three, right? You probably know words in a few more languages. I grew up in Korea. So, of course, English is my first language. And then we knew some Korean. And then I was in an international school with kids from 65 different countries. So I heard a good 10 or 12 more languages on a daily basis. If you walk into a situation where English is not the language that is spoken, you're not going to use, I mean, there are times when you use Hindi, there are times when you use English, correct? So you can't walk into a situation and expect English to only be the language that people know. And it's easy in the United States, and I'll bet there are places in India where it's also easy to just assume English is a good language to use. But the way we communicate is similar. We all have a specific wiring with how we communicate, and it's like understanding a different language. Languages are patterns of speech, patterns of sound, and we all communicate with patterns in specific ways. And I am a DISC consultant, and DISC is based on a quadrant of whether you're outgoing or reserved, and whether you are task-oriented or people-oriented. And we all fall somewhere in all of those, like that nice little mathematical XY axis, but we have a dominant style. So just really quick for people, the DISC stands for D, which is dominant or driver, I, which is inspirational or, we're just gonna call it inspirational, S, which is steady. These are the backbone of your group. They don't like a lot of change. They're 69% of the population. And then C, which is either compliant or creative. These are your detail people, your musicians, and they're your accountants. And so if I, as an inspirational who loves to just use words and tell stories and talk to people all day long, go to talk to my husband, who is a C, who really wants all the information, and he wants to know exactly how we're going to follow through on something, he's going to ask me 10,000 questions. And I'm probably just, in my language, going to get very frustrated, because I'm like, I just want to tell the story. And he wants to know the details about the story. Sure. And I've had to learn to let him ask the questions and answer the questions, because his desire is to understand what I'm saying. So in a corporate culture, when you have a mixture of these different patterns of speech and you don't realize it, then you get, you know, the salespeople conflicting with your accounting people, conflicting with your CEO, conflicting with all the others. If you've got a manager who doesn't understand that 70% of their team doesn't like change because they're all S's, then you're going to run into some problems if they try to make some changes without giving people time to ramp up to that. So when you understand communication within a corporate culture and how we use those patterns of speech, then it gives you the opportunity to speak in another person's language and to meet them where they are. So I love doing that. That's the other piece of work that I do inside teams. I can go inside a team and give, we have a full assessment. It takes about 10 minutes. I've had clients come to me and say, I took the whole DISC assessment, but I thought I was just taking the practice test. It's that simple. And it's so accurate. Every single person I work with says, whoa, this is so me. It's not what I expected, but it describes me so well. So it spits out about a 32-page report. It's all based on leadership and communication. And then if you like, with inside the team, I can help you understand, lay it all out on a chart and help you understand how to work with your team better, or even just how to work with your family better. Either way, it's communication is key.
Lovely. That's great. Great. So what practical steps can individuals take to cultivate the emotional resilience and lead with the conviction and confidence?
So if you're willing to do it, you need to fail. You need to be willing to try new things and fail. That's the courage piece of that intentional optimism. And the more you do that, every time you fall down and get back up, that's your resilience muscle working. So for me, all of the things that I have gone through, growing up overseas, which you'd think would be a lovely thing, but can be hard, having bulimia and depression, gastric bypass surgery, infertility, I lost my mother to lupus and breast cancer. When you look at all those things that I've been through, our churches have split. I mean, that's just really hard when you watch those kinds of things happen within a community. The things that we've been through here in Charlottesville with racial violence and such, all those things, we don't want to go through them, right? We want our lives to be smooth and easy. But I say embrace them. And I say, if you know who you are, then it's like planting yourself with a good solid root system so that you're not swayed, so that you understand no matter what happens, I'm still the girl who likes to show up spunky, welcoming, and wise. I'm still the woman who is completely committed to freedom of thought and authenticity and belonging and making sure that you feel like you belong when you're in my presence and I belong when I'm in yours. So knowing those things about yourself builds that emotional resilience muscle, which means that no matter what happens, the storms that rage around you, if it's in life or in business, you've got what you need to be able to stand tall.
Exactly. That's really lovely. Great. Great. So thank you, Andrea, for joining us today. And dear listeners, like, we have had the privilege of delving into the profound journey of the wellness and the leadership with Andrea Johnson. So a beacon of empowerment and the authenticity. So through her personal experiences, So through her personal experiences as an adoptive parent, a third culture kid, and a wellness advocate, she has illuminated the transformative power of the uncovering our core values and leading with the intentional optimism. So her insights has provided invaluable guidance for navigating the complexities of the life and leadership with resilience and the purpose. So as we conclude today, we encourage all of you to reflect on her wisdom and consider how you can embrace your core values to cultivate the wellness and the leadership in your own life. And always remember that your journey towards authenticity and fulfillment begins with the honoring your truth and embracing the unique gifts that define you. So, Andrea, you'd like to add something?
Sure. I would love to hear from your listeners. Please reach out to me. I will answer all DMs on LinkedIn, especially, and on Instagram. You can find me at The Intentional Optimist. I as well have a a podcast called Stand Tall and Own It. I would love to hear from you about that. And how can I add value to you? I will share with Avik a downloadable that is free, and that will get you kind of into my orbit, and it will give you an opportunity to start on your core values. So I would love to hear how it helps you.
Wow, that's really, really great. And it's really promising. So thank you all. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, may you continue to thrive on the path to the holistic well-being and impactful leadership. So till then, thank you so much.